Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive? Today, we're taking a look at a Supreme Court case that really made waves. ExxonMobil Corp v. Alapata Services, Inc.
Oh, absolutely. This one had major implications for class action lawsuits, especially when you have, you know, lots of plaintiffs and their claims could be, well, different amounts.
So let's set the stage. We have tons of Exxon dealers all claiming they were overcharged.
Right.
But then there's this totally separate issue with a young girl who got hurt by, wait for it, a tuna can, and her family joins the lawsuit too.
Yep, that's the case. And it gets really interesting because they're both connected by this idea of supplemental jurisdiction. You see, federal courts, they're kind of like this exclusive club, right? They can't just hear every case that comes their way.
Makes sense.
There has to be a specific reason, either from the Constitution or a federal law.
So how does this supplemental jurisdiction thing fit into this whole club membership idea?
Well, think of it this way. If one plaintiff has a claim that meets all the requirements to get into federal court, let's say they have a VIP pass, can other plaintiffs with related claims, even if they're smaller, tag along?
Oh, so it's like they're sneaking in with a VIP.
Yeah, kind of. And this was a big deal. Different courts of appeals had totally different answers. Some were like, sure, come on in. And others were like, nope, everyone needs their own VIP pass. And that's why it landed in the Supreme Court's lap. They had to make the final call.
So what did they decide? Did they go with a more the merrier approach or the everyone pays their own way kind of thing?
Well, they went with a more inclusive approach. Justice Kennedy wrote the majority opinion, and he basically said that if a federal court already has jurisdiction over at least one claim in the case, then they can consider related claims, even if the other plaintiffs don't meet the usual requirements on their own.
So one VIP pass for the whole group.
Interesting. I bet not everyone on the court was happy about that.
You're right. There were actually three opinions issued in this case.
Oh. Justice Stevens and Justice Ginsburg both wrote dissenting opinions. They had some serious concerns about how the majority interpreted the law and how it might play out.
All right. Let's dive into those dissents.
Yeah.
What did Justice Stevens disagree with?
Stevens argued that if you look back at the legislative history of the law, specifically Section 1367, it's pretty clear Congress didn't want to overturn two previous rulings, Clark v. Paul Gray, Inc., and Zahn v. International Paper Co. Those cases were much stricter about everyone meeting the requirements for federal court.
So he's saying the majority kind of ignored what Congress intended.
Basically, yeah. He felt like they were stretching the interpretation of the law a bit to reach a particular outcome.
And what about Justice Ginsburg? What was her take?
She offered up a different way to read Section 1367, one that would keep the rulings in Clark and Zahn in place. Her point was that the majority's interpretation was too broad and didn't really respect the historical limits on the power of federal courts.
Wow, three very different interpretations of the same law. It sounds like even the Supreme Court can have trouble agreeing sometimes.
Right. That's what's so fascinating about interpreting law. Laws can be complicated, and judges bring their own perspectives and understanding of precedent to the table.
This is already so interesting. Can you tell me more about why Justice Ginsburg was worried about the limits on federal court power? What was the core of her argument?
Sure. Ginsburg emphasized the idea of original jurisdiction. That means a case needs to start in federal court because it deals with a federal question, like something from the Constitution. Or it could be about diversity jurisdiction.
Diversity jurisdiction. Remind me what that is again.
Diversity jurisdiction applies when the people involved in the case are from different states and the amount of money being disputed is above a certain limit, another one of those VIP pass requirements. Ginsburg's argument was that the majority opinion weakened this requirement. And that, she thought, could have some pretty big consequences for the federal court system as a whole.
Okay, so now I'm really curious about those potential consequences. What were Ginsburg and the other dissenters worried about? Could this decision actually change how the whole system works?
Absolutely. In fact, Ginsburg argued that this more relaxed approach to supplemental jurisdiction could lead to way more cases flooding the federal courts. Think about it. If not every single plaintiff needs to meet that diversity jurisdiction bar, well, that could open the doors to a whole bunch of lawsuits that might have been better suited for state courts.
So it's a trade-off, right? On one hand, it could make it easier for folks with smaller claims to join these bigger lawsuits and actually get their case heard in federal court. But on the other hand, it could overwhelm the system.
Exactly. And that's the heart of the debate surrounding ExxonMobil Corp v. Alapata Services, Inc. It's not just about legal technicalities. It's about access to justice, the efficiency of our courts, and the balance of power between the federal government and the states.
I never realized just how much was riding on this seemingly simple question of who gets to sue in federal court.
It really shows how a single case from the Supreme Court can ripple throughout the entire legal system and even touch our lives in ways we don't expect.
So we've got these dissenting opinions, and they're worried about the courts getting totally swamped. But didn't Congress actually step in and try to fix some of this stuff after the Exxon ruling?
They did. In 2005, Congress passed the Class Action Fairness Act. We usually call it CAFA.
Okay, CAFA. Tell me more about how that fits in here.
Well, CAFA basically made it easier to move some class action cases from state courts to federal courts, especially the ones involving a ton of money or plaintiffs from all different states.
So it kind of sounds like CAFA was a response to the concerns in the Exxon case. Like Congress was saying, hey, we hear you, Justice Ginsburg. We're going to try and manage this whole potential flood of lawsuits.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. CAFA really reflects this ongoing struggle to find that sweet spot between state and federal courts when it comes to class actions. It also shows how Congress can jump in and tweak things after the Supreme Court makes a big decision.
It's really interesting how these different branches of government, you know, interact and kind of push and pull on each other. But we've talked about the potential for, like, overwhelming the courts. What about the positives of the Exxon ruling, especially for everyday people, you know?
That's a really important point. The Exxon ruling could make it easier for people with smaller claims to team up and actually get heard in federal court. Imagine you're a small business owner, right, and some big corporation does you wrong. On your own, your claim might not be big enough to justify all the costs of going to federal court.
Right. You might not have the resources to fight that battle alone.
Exactly. But if you join a class action with a bunch of other people who have similar complaints, now you've got some leverage. It actually becomes feasible to take on the big guy.
So in a way, Exxon could be a win for the little guy. Gives them a shot at fighting back against these good corporations.
That's one way to look at it. It all comes back to access to justice. The ruling potentially opens that door for people who wouldn't have been able to take legal action by themselves.
This is making me think about the bigger picture. What are the lasting consequences of ExxonMobil Corp. v. Alapata Services, Inc.? Has it fundamentally changed how class action lawsuits work?
It's tough to say for sure, but it's definitely had an impact. Some people argue that we've seen more class action lawsuits filed in federal court because of Exxon, and that could be good if it means more people are getting justice. But then there are also concerns about frivolous lawsuits and the burden on the court system.
There's that balance again, access to justice versus a system that can actually function, right?
Right.
What's the takeaway for our listener, the person who may not be a legal expert but wants to understand what this case means for them?
I think the Exxon case is a good example of how even these, you know, kind of technical legal concepts like supplemental jurisdiction can really affect our lives. This ruling changed how class action lawsuits are structured, and it might have made it easier for groups of people to go up against powerful entities.
It really shows how the law is always changing, always adapting to new situations, and how important it is to have, you know, people who are informed and can engage with these legal issues and understand how they might be affected. It's amazing how one Supreme Court case can lead to so many different discussions, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It shows the power the judiciary has to, you know, really shape the whole legal landscape. But like you said before, Congress can step in and make changes if they need to.
Absolutely. And passing CAFA is a perfect example of that, right?
Right.
It shows that Congress and the courts are always in this kind of conversation, interpreting the law, refining it, trying to address the needs and concerns of society as they change.
So let's think about the long game here. What are the lasting implications of ExxonMobil Corp. v. Alapata Services, Inc.? How has it, like, shaped the legal system since the decision?
Well, it's tough to say exactly what impact any single Supreme Court case has, you know. Oh. But we can definitely see some trends that line up with the concerns and hopes that came out of Exxon.
Like what?
Well, like we've been talking about, there's this big debate about whether Exxon has led to more class action lawsuits being filed. Some people say it has, because now it's easier for plaintiffs with smaller claims to get involved. But others think there are other things at play, like changes in how consumers behave or how corporations do business. They argue those things are more important when it comes to class action trends. It's a tricky issue. No simple answers.
It kind of sounds like the Exxon ruling opened up this Pandora's box, you know? all these new questions and challenges for the legal system.
That's a great way to put it. And those questions go way beyond just how many lawsuits get filed. People are debating whether class action litigation is even fair or effective as a whole. Like, are these lawsuits really helping individuals get justice, or are they just lining the pockets of lawyers?
Mm-hmm.
Are they making corporations think twice about doing bad stuff, or are they just creating this environment of fear and making everyone tired of lawsuits?
Wow, there's so much to think about. One case, and it sparked this whole conversation about the role of class actions in society.
Exactly, and that's one of the key takeaways for our listeners, I think. ExxonMobil Court v. Alapata Services, Inc. isn't just some random legal event. It's a point in this ongoing conversation we're having as a society about access to justice, holding corporations accountable, and finding that balance between what individuals need and what's good for everyone.
It reminds us that the law isn't just some static set of rules. It's this dynamic force that really shapes our lives. We all need to be engaged with it and understand it, even if we're not legal experts.
Totally agree. As you learn more about this area of law, I encourage you to really think about the bigger picture. How do decisions like Exxon shift the balance of power in our society? How do they affect how we think about fairness and accountability?
Those are some big questions. And as we wrap up our deep dive into ExxonMobil Court v. Alapata Services, Inc., I want to leave you with this. Imagine, just for a second, a world where every single plaintiff in a class action had to meet that minimum amount in controversy. What would that do to class action lawsuits? Would it make things more fair or less fair? Would it give more power to individuals or to corporations? It's an interesting thought experiment, and it shows how complex these seemingly technical legal issues are and how important they are, too.
I love that. It really highlights how even a little tweak to the rules can have huge ripple effects. It's a good reminder that the law is always changing, and we all play a part in how it evolves.
So keep thinking about these questions as you navigate the legal world, everyone. And remember, even the most technical legal stuff can have a real impact on our lives and society. Until next time, keep exploring. Keep asking questions, and keep diving deep.